The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, or just the Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276, and appreciate it. All right, hey, look, a couple things. One, if you don't want to call and you want to email me, you can do that at info@carm.org. And, well, let's see, interesting. And so I got some hate mail maybe and some wacko mail today. I think I'm going to try some of that and see how you like that. If you're new to the show, where I'm a Christian apologist, I defend the Christian faith, and if you are interested in talking to me about all kinds of things, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy. I talk about Eastern Orthodoxy. It's just as bad as Catholicism is. Christian theology, doctrine. Well, we talk about all kinds of things. If you want to give me a call, like I said, 877-207-2276. And also, what we're doing, because of the censoring that YouTube does, we are gradually moving over and towards Rumble and Rumble.com. So if you're interested in checking out Rumble, what we do is go to Rumble and you can just type in carm.org, C-A-R-M-O-R-G, and you can watch us there. And what we do, what a lot of people do there, is do a couple things while we're talking here, is we have a discussion. We have a lot of good people who join us, and you can say hi, and you can chat with people, and all of that. So that's just it's right there and available. If you're interested in checking that out, you can. And if you can go to the CARM website, carm.org. Sorry, I'm doing a couple things. carm.org. And on the homepage, you'll see the Matt Live picture. I got a picture of me with a little headset mic on. And you click on that. And you can participate and chat. We have 8 people watching in that now. It usually goes up to 40 or so. That's just in Rumble and StreamYard. We're going to be on for another 10 minutes, and then we shut that down and move over to Rumble, just giving you a heads up. All right. We got nobody waiting right now, and I think I'm going to do some wacko mail. Now, we're basically, this is bad, out of hate mail. Okay, hold on. Get a cup of coffee here. Oh, that's good. I make good coffee. All right, so hate mail is when people email me, the ministry, and tell us why we are evil, stupid, wrong, in a cult, doing this, the bidding of Satan, stupid, wrong, whatever it is. And for some reason, I enjoy them. I really do. I read them over the air. But I have to tell you, I don't know what it is, but we're having a desert time of hate mail. Maybe not do my job, because, you know, one of the things you appreciate about what I do is how people don't like me. And you know, I have to work with people, let's just say. They don't like me because I say the truth so much. And so anyway, I get hate mail and I get wacko mail. Wacko mail is better. Wacko mail is, like, for example, years ago, a guy wrote in, I never forget this one. He said that on a certain date, his pastor would turn into an atomic body. He'd still be an atomic body man. And it was really interesting. I had a big email. I had a lot of fun with that. A lot of fun. Let's see. All right, so good morning. This is one of those emails I have in the wacko category. I haven't even read it yet. Let's see how it goes. I was reading your article on the 144,000 saints. Here's a theory, as in the days of Noah, Genesis, genes is all about the blood. DNA mother, 72,000. DNA father, 72,000. God's creation, 144,000. I have no idea what this is talking about. Add another DNA helix, 72,000 equals 216,000. 600 times 60 times 6 is 216,000. Lucifer's enzyme. Okay. So, DNA mother, 72,000. It doesn't say what that is. Mother's genes are 72,000. I don't think that's how it works. And then God's creation is 144,000. And add another DNA helix. So just add it. The numbers didn't add up. So add another helix in there. And then you get the number that's equal to Lucifer's enzyme. Now this is why I need an echo chamber on my voice here, you know, to make it sound really ominous. All coincidence? If Monsanto owns patents on crops, who owns genetically modified people? So if people now through... There's a little symbol there, vaccine. Have three-strand DNA helix, God's creation has been tampered with. So the name of the beast, Lucifer, is in the hybrid needle picture. And the number 666 is also there. Proves also the Bible to be literal, not metaphoric. The biggest concern is that most can't work out what is in plain sight. I guess DNA structures are in plain sight. I guess so. I've never seen one with my eyes. I look forward to your insight on this topic. Thanks. Enjoy this day. I see what this person's saying. A triple helix. The double helix DNA molecule and the TFO is added in it. It doesn't work like that. That would destroy the helix. So, yeah, that's not going to work. Okay, let's try another one. Let's see. Actually, we got a caller. Maybe we'll do the caller first. And then we'll get to some more wacko mail. I haven't read these, so I'm hopeful. Hopefully they're good. Let's get to Isaiah from Pennsylvania. Isaiah, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Matt. Hey. Can you hear me?
I sure can. That's right.
Awesome. Yeah, so I know it's Hate Mail Friday, but we don't have any hate mail for you. We just have all love kept in. Yeah, I'm here with my friend Abel, and we just really appreciate your show and your content. We've found so much of your resources to be helpful and just okay. glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do have a question for you.
Okay.
We just did this exercise in our Bible study two nights ago. Do you know what, like, supralapsarianism is and like infralapsarianism?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which one are you?
I lean towards infra, but okay. That's on Tuesday sometimes. In other words, I'm not really sure, and there's a reason. Infralapsarianism deals with the order of God's decrees and decisions by which election occurs and salvation and things like that. So basically it comes down to, does God look inside the fall in his election and considers things inside the fall, or does he look outside the fall and considers people for election before the fall? Basically, it's what it is. There's variations in there. But when I remember in seminary, we discussed infra versus supra, and I just raised my hand. I just threw out a comment, and it was not a big deal. But it was, if God knows all things eternally and instantaneously, then I don't think it would be an issue of looking in or out. All potentiality is in the mind of God and all eternally known.
Yeah.
So the decrees would be simultaneous with his with the knowledge of all things. And we had a discussion. And generally this deals with the issue of logical progression instead of temporal.
Mm.
And so we get into the logical issues. That's why I lean towards infra, because God knows all things simultaneously, eternally, and so the nature of the fall could only occur if God brought the world into existence in which the fall occurs, and that's just simply one of the threads of possible existence of potentiality, and it would be simultaneously known with all things that God does. So you see, that's why I have problems with it, and but I lean towards it because you know all that knowledge includes the fall. But we don't want to say that God uses information that he has in the fall in order to elect, because then that would be conditional election, and we don't affirm that. You see?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's funny, because I think my pastor said something similar. Like, he's been all three of them at one point, and he just, like, has switched. back and forth, like, pretty recently because it's, like, you know, it seems like there's technically no right or wrong answer because it's, you know, it's all in the mind of God at the same time. It's more so just, right. like, how you choose to emphasize each point, basically.
Right. That's right. So it's a logical issue. So supralapsarianism deals with before the fall. Infra is basically after the fall, looking into it, knowing all things. And, you know, it's, if people want to hold one or the other, okay, I'm not going to die on that hill. So it's okay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, we were just curious. And then I did have one other thing to say.
Sure.
So my friend Abel and I, we emailed Carm. We were interested in having you actually over to Pennsylvania to teach at our assembly. We have what's called a Christocentric conference every Labor Day weekend, which is basically just Jesus Christ being the center of it. And we've, you know, heard a lot of your teachings, and we've been, like, you know, watching your live videos for a while now, and we think you'd be a great choice to come to our conference. And so would you be interested in visiting our conference? Like, it's Labor Day weekend, so it's usually, like, end of August or beginning of September.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've driven through Pennsylvania, so...
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, if you needed, like, flight or anything like that, you know, we could, we emailed you, and so if you want to, we could email about that if you needed help or anything like that.
Yes, generally how that works, they will arrange stuff because they know the dates, they know the hotels, they know the whatever, they know everything that goes along.
Sure.
And that's fine. So, let's see. So here's the thing. In info@carm.org, we have 330 emails. And that's with the people helping us. And so, we have another email, and it's 294, and another one's only 21, another one's 933, and then my other one is 580, and that's just down partial. So I'm, yeah. People say, hey,
sounds
email
like
me. I go,
plenty, sounds like you have plenty of time to get through all those emails.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I just do a lot of deleting. I've actually deleted like 10,000 emails at a time. Just I can't get to them. Just, that's it, because the site's too big, and I get too much going on.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Are you over like 150 million visitors or 200 million or something like that?
Well, I'm actually opening up the file right now that has the information. So we've had... page views, which means one person could go to three page views, pages, and that's three page views,
yeah.
or three persons to one, 240 million page views. New visitors, we've had 155 million. That means individuals that have come to the site, and we've had a returning set of 85 million.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well, yeah, we look forward to hearing from you. We would seriously love to have you. Again, it's called the Christocentric Conference. It's just all about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we always just pray that there's maximum glorification of His name during that weekend. It's usually Friday evening through like Sunday afternoon, so we usually start Friday around like 6:30 p.m. and then we have like.
Hold on, we got a break. We got a break. I want to hear. Okay, so hold on a second.
Yeah.
Okay, bud. Hey, folks, we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on here with Isaiah. Okay, you still there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
All right. Yes, I can. So, yeah, it's all doable. Sounds good. And I love that you want to glorify the Lord Jesus. Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. We've been so encouraged by how, like, in every video and just, like, every, you know, books, stuff like that I've read of yours, it's all, you always bring up the deity of Christ, and we, like, really emphasize that at our church, and, like, it's really encouraging to see somebody else that is like all about the deity of Christ, all about the Trinity, and just knowing the gospel correctly. And yeah, I just encourage you to keep it up, and it's definitely impacted me and my friends here. My pastor, we showed him you, and we were like throwing around thoughts, like if he did come, like, oh, what would Matt teach on? Because he usually assigns all of the pastors that come like a topic. Mm-hmm. And we were gonna, he was thinking possibly it would be something like the deity of Christ, or just like how we arrive at the doctrine of the Trinity, or like Trinitarian Christocentrism or something like that.
Ooh, that's nice. That's what I was just thinking, is the issue of the Trinity and the deity of Christ are interrelated. And you can't really teach one without the other. And so it would be good to teach on the doctrine of the Trinity, why the Trinity is a necessary precondition for all intelligibility. And out of Romans 1:20, the very invisible nature of God is revealed in creation. And not only in the physical realm, but in that of the spiritual and the conceptual. And then, tying that into the incarnation and what that means, hypostatic union, communicatio with your matum, the inseparable operations and things like that. So, yeah, it'd be fun.
Awesome.
Be interesting. And if you want,
great.
You could even do it. I always love doing Q&A. Just, hey, ask me your toughest questions, and then we go from there. You know, a lot of fun.
Yeah, maybe we can include that in it. Like, yeah, just have a separate time slot for a Q&A. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds fun.
Awesome. Great, great. Well, thank you, brother. We appreciate your time, and, God bless you.
Hey, you too, man. God bless. Just keep in contact with us and email us, and we'll work out the details.
Definitely. Awesome. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, God bless.
Thanks.
Cool.
God bless.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I like that. That sounds like a fun time. I love public speaking and being able to just teach on those very topics that I was mentioning. So praise God. Praise God on that. All right. Let's see. Let's get to Travis from North Carolina. Travis, welcome. You're on the air.
What's up, man?
Yeah, man, just doing radio. So what do you got?
Yeah. I'm working on trying to get into this theological seminary and stuff, but try to do youth ministry. But if something ever came to fruition of that, and it eventually might lead to being a pastor or something, I had a kid a while back whenever I was younger and stuff, and I wasn't married, and you see that probably be an issue?
Yeah, it would be an issue, and it need to be dealt with. All things of our past are issues, but the Lord Jesus Christ...
I mean, I do take
Christ,
care of my pay child support and everything.
That's okay. But the Lord Jesus is gracious to us, and there are many people who are pastors who have done bad things in the past. I actually have a friend who's a pastor, and he did some time in a federal prison. And when we talk about that, which... almost never. He says, that man is gone, that man's dead. And he's a full-fledged pastor, and I totally support him. So if you, if you want to go into ministry and you decide about seminary, then, you got to get your bachelor's degree, then you got to go to SEM and things like that. I don't know what direction you want to go. Be prepared for it. It's a lot of hard work. It just is for a long time. And the issues of your past would need to be brought up in all areas, full disclosure. But good men of God are going to just say, well, that's in your past, and you're taking care of what you got to do now. You know, you weren't saved then, you are now. And what we're looking at is how you are in Christ and where you are in Christ, and then move forward from there. And it should be okay. Okay.
Do you have people waiting? You ain't got time for another quick question?
Go for it. We have nobody waiting right now. Go ahead.
I'm getting ready to go to this culinary school in Ohio in June, and I'll be doing my online seminary stuff, undergraduate, whatever, while I'm up there. And before I leave, though, the pastor at this church that I'm going to, he knows I'm trying to get into ministry. He said probably before I leave sometime, I might let me cut my teeth and try a seminary and stuff like that. And I've already got what I'd really like to speak on, what I feel like God's put on my heart, 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. But he, his wife's over the youth ministry, and he asked me, maybe one day I'd come give my testimony, maybe give them a little sermon. But I'm looking. I can't find anything in Scripture that would kind of support, you know, that's a bad life, you know, come back from it and don't make those mistakes and stuff, something to give the kids like that.
Okay, I'm not sure I follow the last part. Found anything in Scripture, not found anything there regarding what?
Like something that would go along with my testimony. I've been in prison and drugs, and to give the kids, you know, that would be like, hey, this is something in Scripture that illustrates that. And
well, Paul, you know, he was a killer. He was a murderer. He murdered the Christian people and went and sought to destroy them, and he was saved. David, you know, King David, he committed adultery and had a man killed to hide it. Moses murdered a man, and he had to hide in the desert. So the Bible is full of people who have done pretty bad things, and yet are used by God. It's not saying, hey, it's all okay. No, it's that God uses broken people. I've got a past, you know, just to say I didn't get caught in a lot of areas. So just to say that. There's some things I've done that, oh my goodness. And here I am. So you don't have to look at a biblical justification per se on drug abuse and things like that. What you need to know is that God uses sinners. And if you're a sinner, you qualify. And since you've been out and you're seeking God, don't move too quickly. That's a piece of advice I've got for you, is you move slowly to make sure that you're hearing from God and not your own flesh. And sometimes it takes time to figure that out. And if you are interested in seminary, if that's what I heard you say, you were interested in SEM, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at Liberty University.
Okay. Well, when people talk to me about seminary, let me just tell you, you know, it's doable, but it is something to take seriously. It is not easy, period. It's a lot of study, and it means some sacrifice and some difficulties, and you often become under attack for it spiritually. So, you know, if you know what you're getting into, you have to count the cost. So it was, when I went to SEM, it was quite difficult. It really was. I'm glad I graduated. I want to do a D-Min, but don't have the money or time right now. But it's just something you got to know too. You got to know what you're getting into, and that's okay. But just as long as you know, all right. But a lot of times, guys.
The prison I was in. I'm sorry.
I say a lot of times, guys who get out of prison are gung ho and they want to serve God right now, and they don't realize that God saves them in prison and then shapes them out of it. And that shaping sometimes takes time. So hold on, Travis. We have a break. We'll get back to you right after these messages. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Travis, are you still there?
I am.
All right, brother. Okay, I forgot where we were exactly, but I had a break.
Seminary stuff. The chaplain at the prison I was at, he gave me an interesting piece of information. He said from what I understood, there's a lot of Baptist churches that if you're an actual member of their congregation, they will help you pay for seminary, for a Baptist theological seminary.
Yeah, that's true. And if you hold to them, to that perspective within the Baptist group, yeah. But the thing is, you'd have to be in there for a while, get to be known so that they recognize the calling and they affirm it. It does take some time. This is why I say I did 9 years of prison ministry and I saw a lot of guys come out and stuff, but a lot of times they just want to serve God right now. And often ministers would say, you sit in church for a year first, then we'll talk. And that's a lot of pastors will do that, and if the men would say no, I don't want to do that, well, that was a sign they weren't ready, because they said I won't. They will defy the leadership around them. But if they say okay, you know, and they submit, it's a sign of humility before God and man. And that's one of the things you want to see.
a little piece of information I kind of didn't disclose the first time I talked to you the other day. This wasn't my first time in prison. It's been a couple of them, and I just keep. But my thing was, I always came home and I just sat around and I was trying to get myself mentally prepared, and I always sat and it just fell back in, and I feel like I couldn't just sit around this time. I just got to hit the ground running and keep my nose to the ground, or I'm just going to fall back.
Well, of course, but I have to tell you something. People don't understand what ministry is. I've been a pastor, and I do ministry now full time. It is difficult. You have to deal with people. You have to do monotonous stuff. You have to do things you don't want to do. You got to deal with the people who you're supposed to love while they're stabbing you in the back. You have to work with people who love you and get in the way by loving you. You have to deal with people who love you and they're just a blessing. You have to learn that the toughest thing you're going to find to deal with is not them, but yourself. Your own motives, your own heart, the impure thoughts that might develop, the temptations that might develop. There'll be times when you won't hear from God. There'll be times when you don't want to do the job anymore. And you got to keep plugging along. It's work. Ministry is unlike a lot of things, because in ministry you're responsible from God for the area He's given you. So with a pastor, for example, it means he's a congregation. His congregation, he's responsible for it to teach them spiritually. But they're going to call him up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, you know, Aunt so and so is in the hospital now. Can you come out and pray? And you do that, and then you've got to get up in the next, a few hours later, and you've got to have a meeting with the elders over this thing that's scheduled. And then maybe the next day you've got to preach. And these are the kinds of things that people aren't aware of in ministry. And here's an example of something. This is real. I once knew a pastor back in San Diego. And I worked at Hewlett Packard near San Diego. And this was a semi-large church. And there was a bit of a problem occurring in the church. And people were becoming divided over a couple issues. And so, because of the job I did at Hewlett Packard, I would meet people from the church on both sides of the issues. They knew I went there, you know, what I do for a living. I mean, before I did this full time, they knew I was an apologist and taught and stuff. So they wanted me on their side, their respective sides. And I would tell them, I said, look, I'm sure there are things about this that I don't know and that you don't know from the other side. And I said, I just stay away from this. I then ended up having a lunch with the pastor. So we're sitting down having lunch and we're talking about this. I says, yeah, at work, this is what's happening and et cetera, et cetera. And I said, I'm going to assume that there are things you know about the situation and with certain individuals involved with this that you can't say. And he just looked at me and nodded once. And I said, and if you did mention it, you would look better, but that person would look worse. And he just nodded again. And I said, and because you're a pastor and you want to guard even that person, you won't say anything. And you're going to take the assault. And he just nodded. And I said, that's what I figured. And I said, I don't need any details, but I said, I'm aware of that. And this is something that happens in ministry. People think it's just preaching and you get up and everything's fine. It's not. I know a guy who said he'd be a pastor again under one condition, as long as he didn't have to deal with any people. And it's a joke, but there's truth in it. Ministry is difficult. It's not 40 hours a week. It's 7 days a week. It is. Okay? He's got to know.
I've been a part of a gang since I was 15, and whenever I was in that gang, that was my life. So I dedicated my life to it, and when God saved me, that became my life. That's what I had to do. And I heard something you said on the radio a few years ago that you had in your wallet behind a picture frame, something your name signed, a contract. God, I'll go wherever you need me to go and whatever you want me to do, and I've got one in my wallet right now.
There you go, brother. I like that, making me smile. It doesn't matter where God sends you. It doesn't matter what condition you are. Rich or poor, married, single, healthy, or not. God, just do with me as you desire. May I be an instrument in your hand. Break me, make me, shape me, send me. That's what it is. That piece of paper in your wallet represents that. And it's good.
I know you got some probably other people calling, so I'm not going to keep you. And I know you don't usually do this over the radio, but I know it's going to be hard, and it's not going to be by nothing that I can do in and of myself. But could I just a quick prayer from you, Matt?
Absolutely. And we don't have anybody waiting, and I'd be glad to pray for you, okay? All right?
All right.
All right. Lord Jesus, I want to lift up Travis to you. I want to thank you, Lord, for your kindness to him and the faithfulness that you've shown to him. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless him. I ask, Lord, that you'd put unction upon his heart to serve you. And that when the dry time comes, when the desert comes, and the temptation finally hits, that his eyes always remain on you, no matter what, even if it costs him. Strengthen him as he picks up the cross to follow after you, and give him what he needs for the journey you're calling him to. And ask that you bless him. We ask this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Right. I appreciate it, Matt. You'll be hearing from me.
That's okay, brother. No sweat, man. All right?
Last night, it's been a couple of years. They moved me. I wasn't in your radio signal anymore. And the last thing I heard, you said Miss Anique was having some problems. Is she all right?
My wife has one of the rarest connective tissue disorders in the world called Louise Dietz. And she's lost 5 inches of height due to scoliosis. She's in constant pain. And she has arthritis. She has osteoporosis off the charts. Varying pain areas that are linked in weird ways in her body. She has an allergy to wheat, and there's fatigue. And she's had numerous back surgeries. She's had a total of, 25 surgeries she's had. And I spent many, many hours in hospitals with her, in emergency with her, while doctors try and figure things out. She's got problems with her eyes. She's got problems with all kinds of stuff. And then we have a new problem that she's discovered called stupidus husbandus. And that's something she's going to deal with, too.
You just know I'll be keeping her in the prayers, Matt.
She does. She needs it. She really does need prayer. And she's a good woman, except for taste in men. She's a great woman. And I have been trying to get her on the air, and she's just terrified to speak in public. And I want her to get on the air because I want to have a conversation with her. She's great on the radio. She's been on before. And to talk about what it means to have something so serious with her that she still has her faith in the Lord. I mean, she's had open-heart surgery. She's had gallbladder surgeries. And she has a pacemaker. And the only thing is, when she got the pacemaker, a doctor told us she's got to get one. I asked, do you have one with a remote control? Because I'd like to, be able to control some stuff in there. You know, like making sandwiches and cleaning kitchens. And she just gave me this look. It just rubbed her forehead, with that stare. I said, what? I'm just asking. And the doctor smiled and said, nope, they haven't come out with that. I said, darn. Oh, well, you got to ask. So,
I think there's some scripture about wife should be being made to make sandwiches. I think that's in Hezekiah.
Maybe so. The book of Second Moronicles is where I'm quoting a lot from in that regard. I got that from series VeggieTales, which is for kids. It's Christian-based.
Oh, yeah.
Bible stories. And Queen Esther, in that one, the queen of the king, she got kicked out of the country because she wouldn't make a sandwich for the king. And so I said, there it is, right there. VeggieTales. You got to make sandwiches.
My wife
would rub her forehead again. But there's a break, buddy, okay? We got to get going. God bless
you. All right,
Matt.
Man. I'm going to let you get to it, Matt. God bless you.
All right, man. God bless. Hey, everybody, lift up Travis. He's going to need it. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Just made myself laugh a little bit. I'll tell you what I did in a little bit during the break. Now, we have nobody waiting, but if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, now, I'm going to read. This is an email, a little bit of a wacko mail. If you studied the Bible and discovered the story of a man raised to live on the third day in the New Testament, and You ever read the creation account of Moses with the understanding that a man was raised to live on the third day, then you and all your teachers are all completely lost, trapped in the deep and great confusion, trying to clear my throat, having no certain knowledge of God's true nature and marvelous plan, the cornerstone of creation revealed in the first resurrection on that day, the Ancient of Days, the day of the Lord has made for all creatures to rejoice, even those condemned already. You have foolishly worshipped the Father on the vain foundation of sacrifice and offering, even attributing to God the vile practice of child sacrifice, and calling it good, even necessary to satisfy Him. Oh boy, this person's deluded. Let's see. You have clearly not overcome the gates of hell, but have been put to shame and are found proven beyond all doubting, unworthy to open His book, unworthy to receive eternal life, not prepared to rule and reign with Christ. You are simply His defeated foe. Now that's good. Okay, now that's a good hate mail, and I like it because it's pretty, you know, it's pretty well written, and it's bulleted pointed, and it's in a syllogism, if then, you know, if and then. For it's logical. Of course, it's incorrect. Well, the reason I was chuckling is because the person gave me the phone number. And so what I did, I went in to, we have a way of texting apart from my cell phone, and I went in and texted the person. And I said, just cleared it. This email's been here for a couple of years, so I just wrote, "The Trinity's true. Jesus Christ is God in flesh." And just see what happens. You know, the person might be going, "What the heck is this? Where did?" So who knows? But I've had to deal with this issue of child sacrifice. God does child sacrifice. It's not child sacrifice. Children are not you yourself, and you sacrifice someone else. In the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity was sent by God the Father, but the Trinity, the triune being, is one single being, and in that sense, God gave Himself, and that's what's going on. And so, you know, these poor people, they don't get it, you know, they don't understand biblical theology, and then they criticize. But I did enjoy that one. I did enjoy that one. It was good. I did. Let's get to Jim from North Carolina. Jim, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm a pretty recent listener, and I'm really glad I started listening. But yesterday, I was going to call in and and see if I could get you to help me with clarifying my own mind about some scripture. But then you mentioned something about Trump. I got all wigged out about that. I hate mixing politics with religion. I really do, and I think both sides lie all the time.
There's a lot of liars on both sides. So what verse are you looking at, or scripture?
Okay, it's a combination of verses. It has to do with homosexuality and same-sex marriage, and divorce and remarriage, and judging and showing partiality. I mean, it's a mixture there. It's got me so confused. For example, I think it's evident in the Bible, and I'm sure I have got some of the scriptures, I'm sure you know, that it says homosexuality is, you know, sinful. You know, that you shouldn't be doing that, lying with, and so forth. And also in the present day, you know, this whole thing about same-sex marriage and all that sort of thing, and which is, again, goes against biblical teaching. But also, the Bible says that if you divorce and remarry, then you also are sinning, you know. I read it.
No, that's not what it says.
You can divorce, but not remarry, you know.
No, that's not what it says. It says, Jesus says in Matthew 19:9, "I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality," that's the Greek word porneia, "and marries another woman, commits adultery." So there is a condition in which you can remarry.
I knew it was a condition to, well, maybe I misread it. It's a condition. You certainly can divorce if it's infidelity, but I didn't get the where it said but. I didn't get that part of it where you can.
Okay.
In that case, you can also remarry. I didn't see that part.
Here.
But let's suppose, let me
read it to you. Hold on. Let me read it to you.
Okay,
read it to you again.
Okay.
This is Matthew 19:9. "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman, commits adultery. Now, I skipped something in there because I want you to see it's a parenthetic phrase that's in there. Because if you divorce someone and marry another, you committed adultery, except for the case of immorality. So if the spouse has committed adultery, then you divorce that person, you're free to remarry. That's what's going on. Okay?
Okay. All right. That was, I guess I kind of missed that little part of it.
Yeah.
But that's a small, perhaps, percentage of those people who get divorced and remarry. You know, it's for a whole host of different reasons.
There's another something.
And so,
there's something else. And this is 1 Corinthians 7:15. 1 Corinthians 7:15. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. This is the believing spouse, the unbelieving spouse, is talking about marriage. So if the unbelieving leaves, then you're not under bondage. If you're under bondage to stay married, then they wouldn't say you're not under bondage. The person has abandoned. So here's the thing about a marriage contract. It's a covenant. It's a contract. So you say, I'll keep, you know, myself to you only, and provide for you, protect you as man, you know, et cetera, till death do us part. Well, and this is what it's supposed to do. So the contract is a verbal contract, an agreement that a man and woman make. And so when one of them breaks it, they've broken the covenant. And so the option for divorce is there, not the obligation. All right?
Okay. I think I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I would still say there. I don't know how many. I think as far as I understand it, I think it's like 3.5% of the population are homosexuals or something like that. And I think about over 50% get divorced, I'm told, or something like that. I don't know if those statistics.
Yeah, well, that's another topic. Homosexuality is just flat out, it's a sin, and I don't recognize any homosexual marriage as being valid. It's to me, it's just a it's false.
But,
I don't recognize.
But
it.
Would you? Let's suppose a couple gets married. They divorced because they found somebody else or whatever reason, and then they both wanted to remarry or what. So they just get divorced, you know, they got kids and everything, and then they remarry again. Is that...
Yeah, they're in sin.
They're in sin?
Yeah. If you just don't like each other and that's it, you're divorced.
Yeah.
If they're unbelievers, okay, you do this, it's a sin.
Yeah.
I don't like you anymore. Well, I'm not going to work on it. I'm just going to, you know, whatever. That's just
right. Exactly. That was my point. But here's the thing. The problem I was having with this is this whole thing about judging others, you know. And I suppose in my churches, I mean, I grew up in a strict Baptist church where playing cards is simple, you know, and dancing.
Yeah.
But anyway, the thing that got me was that this thing about showing partiality and judging and then it was almost as if, when I grew up, I'm in my 80s, back then, homosexuals were, I mean, they were the scourge of society, they were the outcast, they were, you know, all kinds of, I can't imagine how anybody would choose to be a homosexual. Anyway, things have changed now, and so it just seemed to me like that there was some hypocrisy in here in wanting to make it illegal for homosexuals to get married, and then at the same time allowing, you know, inviting these divorced people into your church and stiff arming the
hold on, you said something and you just kept going. You've been inviting divorced people into the church. Are you saying divorced people shouldn't be in the church?
No, I'm saying that they should be treated the same. If divorced people should be invited
same
into the church,
as what
homosexual people should
wait, same as what?
Okay, go ahead.
You said they should be treated the same. Same as what?
Yeah, I think if a divorced person that didn't have the, you know, the infidelity and going against God or whatever, if they are welcomed into your church, but yet you don't welcome homosexuals into your church, I think that's showing partiality, which is according to Romans.
No, we should welcome all people into the church. Into our church.
Okay, including homosexuals.
Of course. If homosexuals come into the church, let them come in. Let them hear the word of God and word of truth and call them to repentance. Absolutely.
I agree with that. Some people don't agree with that, but I understand that.
Well, then those people need to be taught about the great love and mercy of God, because if they're going to sit in judgment of someone who's a homosexual, say they don't belong in this church, then I would, if I was a pastor of that church, I found out, I would take them up lovingly, but I'd correct them. You don't talk like that.
Good.
You don't hold that opinion. That's not godly.
I'm glad.
Because
I'm glad to hear that. I think you're even more brilliant than I thought. I know you're brilliant in scriptures, but now I understand. I think I'll go back and relook at that things. Now I was thinking that we were being like the schoolyard bully, you know, pick on the outcast and all those kinds of people that are different, and be afraid of the ones that are tough. Like they may have been divorced or whatever. They're prominent and rich and all this kind of stuff. And so I was seeing some hypocrisy there. That maybe there wasn't any, but that's how I saw it.
Well, you know, just as a note, you know, we had three years ago, we had a transsexual come over for Christmas at our house. My daughter had a new friend who was going trans, and said, but, you know, why don't you bring this person over? But one more thing, Dad. I said, what? He goes, the person's trans. I said, okay. And bring her over.
You didn't judge him then? Yeah, okay.
No, bring her over. And she was originally female, called her, and she was going to be a guy. Well, to me, the person's confused and in sin. And but I'm not going to say don't come over. And if I remember correctly, she spent the night. And what we did was a Christmas thing, Christmas Eve and stuff.
Yeah.
We even got a gift. We rewrapped a gift for her, so that she would feel part of the ceremony, the day. And
I think that's showing God's love when you do things like that.
And
rather than, you know, pointing at them and judging them and all that.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what we did, and that's how I was. And my daughter was surprised. Yeah. I said, you don't understand. You don't understand the love of Christ, because she's not a Christian. You don't understand how he is, and we're going to emulate him. And, you know, later, it was like 2 months later that I ended up talking to that person about what I do for a living. And what the issue is of stuff, and I'm not saying because of that, but she stopped the transition and went back to where she was coming from originally, you know. So,
Well, that's terrific too. I'm glad I called that, because I was not everybody thinks like you do about this. By the way, though, some of the more I don't know how to describe them. Not evangelical.
Well,
I consider myself evangelical, I guess. But, I mean, some of these fundamentalists that really are just judgmental. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Jesus hung out with drunkards and gluttons. Well, a lot of people wouldn't let Jesus into their church because he wasn't behaving properly. Look who he's hanging out with. And a lot of people are more, as I've heard a saying once, a lot of Christians are more holy than Jesus. That's a comment to end on, because there's the music. We're out of time. Sorry, brother. I hate to cut you off, but we are out of time. All right?
All right. Thank you so much. Okay.
All right, man. God bless. All right. Sorry about the ending. That would have been a good conversation to continue, but that's just the timing, how it goes. May the Lord bless you. I hope you have a great weekend. By His grace, we're back on the air on Monday, and we'll talk to you then. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.